They never wanted me. The curse is laid upon my race. Useless serpents, they bring disgrace. A man without a face. Time they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. Yeah, just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste. All the lies that they told erased. A man without face. A man without a 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 face.
Welcome, dear ladies and gentlemen, to the Rabbit Hole Radio Show with your host, David James. Hello, 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 kinsmen and kinswomen. Dear people, it's wonderful to be with you again this week. I have some good news for you. The newsletter went out for August, and we will have a newsletter. I will have a newsletter put out every month, and maybe one here and there, you know, as a special. I'm finally able to do these things. I've modified my site to make it easier for you to see the blog articles. Be sure to visit davidjamesboston.com. It's your source and your resource source so that you can find the information you need, and so that you can be better equipped to be in Yahweh's army. So be sure to go to my BitChute channel. I've just put up a few videos that are important. One called Sun, Sea, and Satan. Another one is my remastered Forces Occult, an extremely important video. And of course, don't miss the newest fireside chat that I did early in the wee hours, in the wee hours of the morning. Yes, I think you'll be very excited with that. I don't really know how many of you are excited with my messages or not. There are some. There should be way more. I mean, I don't mean to say, you know, toot my own horn, but I mean, what was revealed in Fireside Chat number 57 is it's incredible. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, maybe I'm just more excited about the things of the Father than some of you. When I get a revelation from the Father, I jump for joy inside and out. I don't know what you do. Well, a lot of things have been happening in the world, and you can see that the Jews are behind this rising up in China. What is the rising up about, ladies and gentlemen? It's about bringing democracy to China. You see, the Jews brought communism to China, and then they killed millions of them. But now they want to bring them in line with the rest of the countries, nations. They want them to be a democracy because that's what the one world government is. The New World Order for the Jews See, it's an order. It's not just one thing. It's a government, a one world government, which is democracy, which we've shoved down everybody's throat. And then you've got the central bank, which is the control mechanism, the one world money system. And then you've got all the religions of the world who have Lucifer as their god joining up together. Because they have a lot in common. They all love Lucifer and worship Lucifer, whether they know it or not. And that's the way the Jews will dominate the world. They want to. I don't believe they're going to have their New World Order. The Father didn't allow it in the first place. And I don't believe he's going to allow it now. But he'll let them get close so they can taste it. And then he'll grind them up. Praise the Father for such things. Let them give them just enough rope to hang themselves. And they're doing a great job of hanging themselves. Everybody's finding out about the Jews. It's commonplace these days. It's everywhere. Everybody's finding out about the Jews. Oh, there are some that are still fooled. But I mean, it is a movement that's moving exponentially. It is growing. Everywhere you look, there's darts coming at the Jews. And rightly so. They deserve it. So the reason why this uprising is happening in China and the reason why YouTube is shutting down anybody that's against it is because they want China to be a democracy so that they can come in line with the Jew World Order. You understand? It's just that simple. It really is. It doesn't take heavy brains to figure it out. You just have to understand the patterns of these filthy Jews. And you have to see what their progressions have been. What is their proclivity? What are they procuring? Yes, they're procuring corruption and chaos. And China is now in chaos. It's already been corrupted. It's funny how they wanted full-blown communism, but then when they shut down the communism thing, because everybody knows it's a Jewish thing, that Judaism equals communism, now they want to just say, oh, democracy, which is the... See, communism fought against capitalism, and the Jews are both communist and capitalists. And so the process of the Hegelian dialectic, as these two opposed forces fought one another, the synthesis of the two is democracy, aka socialism. You see that this democracy that's in the United States, that's not our democracy, we're a republic. But the Jews have blindsided the public, and they call it their democracy, and it is theirs, it's not ours. You see that now the pure socialists like Bernie and the crew, you know, AOC and all these people, they're coming out now. They want full-blown socialism. You see? So the democracy is at the point of violence at this point, and it is at its end. It's ending in America. The democracy is, you're watching the death of democracy in America. Praise the Father in heaven. Because democracy doesn't belong in any white nation. It's there to destroy the white people of the Israelite white nations. And it's all purported by the Jews. It's all done by the Jews because they're genociding the white Israelite people all across the world. I mean, don't you think it's kind of funny? Seriously, don't you say to yourself, well, our white people are dying in Africa. We need to save them. We need to step in. We need to send our military over there. Oh, no, we don't. The Jew doesn't want that. They want them to be killed. They're German Boer people. Notice how Donald Trump will stand up and he'll try to save some Negro rapper who disses him after he helps him to get off the charges in Sweden, but he won't step a hand to help any white man or woman that's in South Africa. These farmers that can feed a whole continent. We wouldn't want to have them in our country. We don't want anybody to feed the continent. We want food shortages, say the Jews. We don't want anybody giving us good food in America. We want to kill anybody that can do that, says the Jews. And you can believe what I'm telling you. I guarantee it. They've been trying to create a food shortage for a long time now. They're fear-mongering with the storms as usual, working people into a frenzy, keeping them busy while they pull off things in other parts of the world. Now, Netanyahu wants to go to war with Lebanon, I guess. Or some, I think that was his newest thing. Let me just check that real quick. It's so insane. These Jews are just insane. They can't get enough war. And so they can't seem to start the war with Iran. They're having a real problem with that. And so now they're trying to start another war. And they've been bombed at least three countries in the last couple of weeks. Listen to this headline. One dead, nine wounded in knife rampage in France. Funny how I'm looking for this Netanyahu thing, and it's just all of a sudden missing here. Maybe it wasn't this site after all. But yeah, Netanyahu says he's doing everything to defend Israel, including in Iraq. They've attacked Iraq, Syria, and I forget who else. They're trying to start wars everywhere. They don't want to fight the war themselves. They want to start it and let us kill each other. That's what they're up to. They're trying to start wars within our countries by bringing Muslims into the countries, and they're trying to start a war between the Muslims and Christians, as it was told through Albert Pike. And that they're trying to start that war going, and they're having a hard time with that one too, because the white people are the offspring of Yahweh, and they're very patient. We are very patient people. We're starting to lose our patience, but we've been patient. And so they're not able to spark that war up. So the more wars they spark up in that part of the Middle East, the more people leave to come to our countries so that they can just take over all these countries. This is what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. Make no mistake. This is so easy to see. It just blows my mind that nobody sees it. Anyway, enough of the headlines and so on and so forth, but you understand what I'm telling you, what's going on. It's going on right in front of your eyes. The Judeo-Christians can't see it. They are under the delusion. It must be the delusion from the Father because they don't love the truth. It just has to be. Because it's such a powerful delusion, they'd actually fight and die over it, over protecting the enemies of the world, the Jews. It's absolutely astounding to me. So, with all that said, why don't we move into our subject matter? We're in the book by Maurice Pinet, a Catholic. It's called The Plot Against the Church. And we've been reading about the Freemasons. Okay, so I'll read the last paragraph that we read, and then we'll continue from there. The Berlin Freemason, whom we mentioned at the beginning, said further, "The danger for the throne and the altar," remember this? The throne and the altar. In other words, the government and the church, which are threatened by the Jewish power, has reached its highest point. Now, this is way back then. And it is time to sound alarm, just as the leaders of German Freemasonry did when they said, the Jews have understood that the kingly art, the Freemasonic art, was a principal means to erect their own secret kingdom. The danger threatens not only our order, Freemasonry, but the state in general. The Jews find manifold opportunities in the lodges, that's the Freemasonic lodges, to exercise their old familiar systems of briberies by their sowing confusion. Who sows confusion? The devil, right? Well, the devil's children do what the devil does. See? Their old familiar systems of briberies by their sowing confusion in many affairs. If one bears in mind the role that the Jews played in the crimes of the French Revolution and the illegal Corsican seizure of property, if one also bears in mind the tenacious belief of the Jews in a future, they use the word Israelite, but the Jews don't even use that. So we'll just say because they're not Israelites, the future Israeli kingdom, which will rule over the world as well as influence on a number of ministers, as their influence on a number of ministers of state, one will recognize how dangerous their activity can become in Freemasonic affairs. The Jewish people forms a tribe which hostilely opposes the entire human race. Let me stop right there. What did I tell you about the Jews? That they're the enemy of the people. They're the enemy of the world, the prime enemy of the world. The Negro is the second prime enemy of the world, and I believe the two. Farrakhan wrote a book, The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews, and I don't think he knows what I believed I know. I believe the real secret relationship between the Jews and the blacks is that they both have the seed line of Cain within them. Yes, I believe Cain mixed over in that continent too. So it says the Jewish people forms a tribe which hostilely opposes the entire human race, and which believes the God of Israel has only chosen one people to whom all others must serve as footstools. Well, it's true that Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel, has chosen one people, but it's not that people. And it's not that the people must serve as footstools. That's not true. But the Father has primarily chosen one people and made a covenant with one people. And that is the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples of the world, not Jews. Let it be borne in mind that among the 17 million inhabitants of Prussia, there are only 600,000 Jews. Let it be borne in mind with what convulsive zeal this people of Oriental and irrepressible activity works to attain the overthrow of the state with all means. The ends justify the means. They're Oriental, Turco-Mongolian, you see? I explained that last week to you, Turco-Mongolian. I also explained to you about the Khazars with a C, that they were mixed with the Turks, these Hittite, Edomite, Canaanite Jews. So they work to attain the overthrow of all states with all means, of the state with all means, to occupy the higher teaching institutions, even by means of money, and to monopolize the government offices in its favor. Let me ask you a question. Do you doubt what this man just wrote here? Do you not see that we have Marxist professors all over the place in our teaching institutions? Do you not see that they have used this money to monopolize government offices in its favor, in the favor of the Jews? the Jewish lobby, the sold-out politicians, the pigs, the swine. There's no doubt in what this man says, and this is a long time ago. This isn't today. This is a long time ago. Let's continue now with the article, with the book. Carlyle, one of the most authoritative Freemasonic personages, says on page 86, the Freemasonry of the Grand Lodge is at present through and through Jewish. The Kreuz Zeitung, the principal organ of the Prussian conservatives, published from 29th June to 3rd July 1875 a series of articles in which it elaborated on the chief ministers of the German and Prussian government, not excluding Prince Bismarck, found themselves in the hands of the Jewish kings of the Börse, and that the Jewish bankers were those who had ruled in Russia and Germany. These facts caused the Jew Gutzau to assert, the true founders of the new German Reich are the Jews. The Jews are the most advanced in all sciences, press, the stage, and politics. I remember reading that too. So, here's where we really ended up. Let's continue from here. Let us pass over the stage of participation of the Jews in revolutions in general. Already in the year 1648, the great revolutionary leader Cromwell was supported by the Jews, a deputation which came from the remotest Asia and was led by the rabbi Jacob ben Azazel. I remember saying last week about that too, that it was Azazel. Remember? I think that's very interesting that his name would be Azazel. Okay, and he appeared before the English dictator, Cromwell. The results of the conversation which took place were not long in coming, and Cromwell used his entire power in order to abolish the laws that placed restrictions upon the Jews in England. One of the most closest collaborators of Cromwell was the rabbi of Amsterdam, Manasseh ben Israel. Ernst Renan, who cannot be accused of anti-Jewishism, wrote the following. In the French revolutionary movement, the Jewish element plays a chief role, and it is very difficult to deny this. It is true that around 1789 the Jews went to work with much caution and concealed themselves behind the Freemasonic organizations and the philosophical associations. However, this did not prevent several of the sons of Israel, so to speak, from taking an active part in the revolutionary events and making use of these from the material standpoint. The first shot against the Swiss guard of the Tuileries was fired on August 10th, 1791, by the Jew Zalkind Hurwitz Land. And that's Hurwitz, like Hurwitz. And you know Moe's real name is Moe. His real name was Horowitz, which is very close to this. But since this zeal for war carries with it many dangers, the Jews prefer to devote themselves to other less dangerous and above all rewarding activities. The old Hebrew Benoltus was a millionaire of this city, Cadiz, was from now on named as general treasurer of the order and already reckoned to possess a disposable capital of 300,000 thalers. Rule 44 of the Grand Spanish Orient of 10th April 1824. You see, this is a long time ago, ladies and gentlemen. The supplying of the Republican armies was carried out through the Israelites. See, they're using the word Israelites in this book, and the Jews don't call themselves Israelites. They're not Israelites anyway. They can't be. We, the white, Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian and Nordic peoples are the true Israelites. The Jews are not Israelites at all. But it says the supplying of these armies was carried out through Israelis Biderman, Max Beer, that's B-E-E-R, Mosulman, with two N's at the end, and others. So Jew names can have two N's at the end too. That's usually a German thing. This gave occasion to the complaints which were made by Colonel Berneville of the Army of the Moselle, because for the troops he had been supplied with boys' shoes with cardboard soles, children's stockings, and completely moth-eaten sackcloths for tents. Sailcloths, excuse me. Does that sound like our people today? We're not. Our people today are sent to war without the proper equipment. You know, you've heard that, right? In Iraq, they didn't have the proper equipment, so on and so forth. So you see, it's one of the Jews are so cheap when it comes to the soldiers because they're just expendable people. So here, this army that they were supplying them with boys' shoes, with cardboard soles, children's stockings, and completely moth-eaten sailcloths for tents. That's a Jewish pattern. Make a note of it. Soon after, the laws that restricted the rights of the Jews were lifted, thanks to the mediation of Abbott. There's, hey, Abbott, you see? He's a Jew, too. Gregoire, Mirabeau, Robespierre, and others. This is done on the first occasion by all revolutionary governments. And soon afterwards, when the ideas of 1789 gained the upper hand, a veritable flood, according to the words of Cape Figs, of foreigners discharged themselves over France from the banks of the Rhine. So, this is another flood. See, when there's revolution rife in a country, there's a, it says, a veritable flood, according to the words of Cape Figs, of foreigners discharged themselves over France from the banks of the Rhine. Then appeared in the political arena such names as Klotz, Benjamin, Vital, Ephraim, Etta, Palm, etc. You see, in America, we, in all the countries of the Israelite, true Israelite countries, the white countries of the world, we see now the flood of foreigners brought in for the revolutions. You see, these Jews like wars. They're always wanting to go to war. I just talked about Netanyahu. They can't get one going in Iran. They couldn't get it going with Russia. They can't get it going with North Korea. They couldn't make it happen in Syria, so now we got to go back to Lebanon again because there's a lot of white people in Lebanon. I believe that's where some of the white Ishmaelites are. And so not only do they start wars, but they're constantly starting revolutions, like 1848. I never even knew about that revolution. So it's almost every 50 years they start a revolution. The revolution we had in America prior to this was 1969, the Summer of Love, when they brought in the peace. You see, it's always you'll notice that when the Jews are up to something, peace is the word that's used. And the peace sign came out, which is an Antichrist sign. It's the cross upside down and broken. The limbs of the cross are broken. It's an Antichrist sign, and it's encircled to empower it. And peace and the summer of free love, in other words, fornication, and so on and so forth. Basically, it was a revolution in 69 to separate the children and put them against their parents. In other words, to divide the generations against themselves. rather than the family being united as one, as they should be, the Jew was destroying the family. And so we had a revolution in America, and it happened in the UK as well, because I remember Ian Anderson of Jethro Tull talking about how the hippies of that time in the UK, it was a very ugly thing. And he ought to know, he was there. And it was very ugly in America as well. It wasn't pretty. As a matter of fact, like a pig would delve itself into the mud, I'm just thinking about this on the top of my head, you do remember that at Woodstock, the white people were sliding around in the mud, right? Like pigs. So it was a very, what we thought was cool at the time, so to speak, or I was a young lad at the time, but I thought it was cool until I realized what it really is. Not everything is as it appears to be at the time in your life. You may believe something today and be vehemently against something like the Germans, but you may study on it in the future and find out, geez, it wasn't what I was told it was. And then you may change your mind and not be vehemently against the Germans when you find out that they're the ones that died to try to bring you freedom rather than your own soldiers in your own countries who killed our racial brethren to prevent them from freeing us from Jewish communism. Let's continue. So these Jews start appearing. First, they bring in all these foreigners into the country when they're going to do a revolution here. Then appears all these Jews in the political arena. The Messiah has arrived for us on the 28th of February, 1790, with the rights of man, wrote the Jew Cohen. Let me stop right there. The rights of man. Who do we declare? I've been saying this for years. Who do you declare rights to? When you're declaring rights, are you declaring them to other men? I believe you're declaring them against the Israelite nations, but ultimately, you're declaring men's rights to the Father in heaven, Yahweh himself. Just like women are saying, women's rights, right? Think about it. The father, because of Eve got deceived in the garden, and she did what she did, she was judged by the father, just as Adam was, just as the serpent or the angel in the garden. And Eve was told that she would now be a helpmate to the man. She would not be equal. She was equal with man in a sense, not really. But she wasn't restricted. She was also told she would have pain in childbirth, etc., etc. So these women, they don't want to be under the man as the father has declared it to be. That, of course, Yahweh is first. If a woman is to see the order of things the way it's supposed to be, the father is first. The husband is second. And she's to obey both. If she rebels against the husband, she's rebelling against the Father in heaven. If she's rebelling against the Father in heaven, she's rebelling against the husband. It works both ways. So when a woman says, I'm equal with man, she's saying, Yahweh, you're wrong. I'm declaring my rights to you. I'm equal with man, no matter what you say. You understand? This is what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. Make no mistake of what I'm telling you is the truth. This rights of queers and rights of, the father said queers should be killed. The father said witches, suffer not a witch to live. If a man dresses in women's clothes, boom, you're gone. So they're declaring their rights against the Israelite nations, which are the white nations of the world, which is the establishment on earth of the heavenly kingdom. I hope I'm making this good and clear to you. and they are rebelling against the Father in heaven. Just as I told you, Zionism, let me read this to you, okay? It's something I wrote, and it's something I wrote because I want people to understand this. And here's how it goes. Israel is not a country. It is stolen, occupied land. They are trying to brainwash you into believing they are a country or a startup nation. Yahweh has declared that these Canaanite, Edomite Jews would be vagabonds and fugitives. They are not allowed to have a country of their own or a nation of their own. This is why they are the internationalists. And then I read from the book of Genesis, and Yahweh said unto Cain, "Where is Abel, thy brother?" And he said, "I know not." He's lying right now, right? He's lying right to the face of the ever-living God. And this is who these Jews are born from, Cain. When he says, I want you to understand this. When Yeshua, Jesus, says that that the devil was a murderer from the beginning. Your father was a murderer from the beginning, and he is a liar, and because there is no truth in him. They're speaking of Cain. Cain is the offspring of the unholy union of the devil and Eve. You could say the angel, the fallen angel and Eve, okay? Which is race mixing to start off with. So Cain is an hybrid, not made of Yahweh. Even though both entities are made of Yahweh, the union of the two is forbidden. So these Jews are the offspring of Cain. See? So he's lying, this liar from the beginning, this murderer, their father. And these Pharisee Jews are the progeny of Cain. These Edomite Jews of today are the progeny of Cain. So, and Yahweh said unto Cain, "Where is Abel thy brother?" And he said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" A little wise little punk, isn't he? And he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." Now, the father knew already that Abel had killed him, that Cain had killed Abel, because Abel had warned Cain that if he was to kill him, the father would see it. But Cain, being the hybrid that he is, the out of control of his emotions and all that stuff, killed his brother regardless of whether the father would see it or not, and had the audacity to lie to the ever-living God's face, like as if he wouldn't have known where Abel was buried, because the blood was crying out unto the father from the ground. And one thing the father had given me personally that I had given to you years ago is that every time these Jews drink the blood of our children, the blood that is inside them crieth out to Yahweh from the ground, meaning their bodies. That's why a lot of them are mentally ill. You can't drink blood of people you've killed and expect that blood not to be crying out to the Father from inside of you Jews. Verse 11, "And now thou art cursed from the earth." So the seed line of Cain is cursed. Cain mixed with the blacks, I believe, and Cain has mixed with Edomites, etc., etc., etc. And so these are accursed people, these Jews. And the land over there that they've stolen is a cursed land until Yeshua, Christ, Jesus Christ, returns. It's cursed. So, "And now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, now remember, Cain was a farmer. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. In other words, you will no longer be able to farm. A fugitive and a vagabond thou shalt be in the earth. So you see that the Father, see, talking about the rights of man, now you're putting this together now, right? The rights of man being declared to the Father who made these judgments already. These judgments are already made. These aren't even waiting for the end day judgments. These judgments are made. This is why they are the internationalists. Because they are not to have a nation of their own, not to have a country of their own. And they never had. And so we already know that Abraham would, his seed would bring all the nations forth. And the Jews haven't done that. The white man has. The white Israelite white man. The tribes of Israel have brought the nations forth. No nation in Africa was made by any black. Use your brains. If they couldn't create a wheel and they didn't even know what alcohol was, how are they going to think about dividing up a nation? So, the conclusion of what I wrote here is this. A Zionist is someone who believes these cursed Jews have a right to their own country despite the judgment of the Father of Yahweh. In other words, here it is again. The Jews have right. If you're a Zionist, you're cheering for the Jews' right to have their own land, their own country. You understand what I'm telling you? Despite what the Father has said. So, Mr. Trump is obviously a Zionist. He doesn't even have to tell me he's a Zionist because he believes these cursed Jews have a right to their own country because he said Jerusalem was the capital of Israel, even though Israel's not a country and it's stolen land. It's occupied by thieves who are genociding a people who rightly have right to the land at this point. But they are a cursed people and they live in a cursed land. And that's what I have to tell you about that. That's important for you to understand what's really being, what I'm saying there. I know we took off from the book for a minute there, but it's important stuff because we're talking about the rights of man. So the Messiah has arrived for us on the 28th of February, 1790, with the rights of man, wrote the Jew Cohen. Cohen means priest. And in fact, the awarding of all rights of citizenship to the Jews was one of the greatest victories of Israel. You mean of the Jews. The revolution of 1830, says the Jew Betteride, has only perpetuated these happy results. So not only was there a revolution in 1848, but there was one in 1830, and there was one in the late 1700s. And we know that I had read about Napoleon letting the Jews out to be equal citizens with France. See, that's against Yahweh's judgment. That's where all the problems begin. And we see that this Cromwell character has also done the very same thing in the UK. Only thing about it is that those laws stand today and the Jews have no right to be on the UK continent. Those laws are still intact. So let's continue. When in the year 1848 the rule of the peoples reached its last limits, the same author cynically added that Jewish names appeared in the highest realms of power. These chosen ones, these representatives of the people, often took on some French names such as Fooled, F-O-U-L-D. That's pretty good, huh? You've been fooled. Cerber, Cremu, etc. The custom of there being at least one Jewish representative in the government of the Republic is something that, apart from rare exceptions, has been preserved up to our days. However, not only in France did the Jewish people play a predominant role, but with all revolutionary movements. How many are left after? None. All. They have been involved with all revolutionary movements, including the revolutionary movements in all of our countries right now, including the revolutionary movement in China right now, including the revolutionary movement in the United States in 1969 under the guise of peace again, peace and love. You see what I'm saying? So, those are my comments. Let me get back to the book. The revolution that shook Central Europe in the year of 1848, writes Lambelin, was spread and supported by the Jews as the countless facts and documents prove. See, this isn't a conspiracy theory. This is proven facts, which is what I always deal in, as far as I know. I'm sure we get tricked from time to time. Among the instigators of the revolution of 1870 and among the members of the commune appear likewise the Jews, who were represented through Ravel Isaac Kalmer, Jacob Pereira, and others. The aforementioned author remarks of the presence of 18 Jews among the principal leaders of the commune. It is interesting to establish that, you know, many of the Jews in 69, let me point this out to you. I didn't realize it at the time. Many of these hippies were Jews. You just didn't realize it. And it was the same in the UK, I'm sure. Make no mistake, the summer of love was the summer of revolution. The sexual revolution. The revolution to destroy the family. To put a divide between the parents and the children, between the generations. To divide is to conquer. To divide is to weaken. So what it did was it weakened the family. It weakened the family's trust in each other. It weakened the family's love for each other. It weakened its family's dedication to one another. You understand that? That's revolution. And a revolution is one turn or many turns, but a revolution is one turn. It's a turning from what is right to something that is wrong. The New Deal was put there, and it was a revolution to turn us to the New Deal, which is democracy and social programs, etc., etc. But it turned us from what it was right. A revolution is a turning. Make no mistake. The ideas I present to you are and should be understood. I understand them. They happen oftentimes right on the tip of the tongue thought, right off the top of the mind. They're not unplanned, these things. But they sure are just simple things, simple common sense things that really show the big picture of what's going on. A revolution is a turning. Beware of the fables of the Jews and from men that turn people from the truth. Turn, a turning. I suppose I have to do it. Turning is a machining process in which a cutting tool, typically a non-rotary tool bit, a tool like Freemasonry, causes the revolution and the turning. It's a cutting tool. Describes a helix toolpath by moving more or less linearly while working, workpiece rotates. But let's look up turning the meaning. I thought that was apropos. A place where a road branches off another. Ah, ladies and gentlemen, our nations were on a path to the Father Yahweh. We were on a much narrower road. And the devil, his purpose, as Abraham told Isaac when they were going up to the top of the mountain to sacrifice Isaac, which was never going to take place, but the testing of obedience was there. Abraham told Isaac, don't let the devil get you off the path. I'm paraphrasing, but it was on my shows in the time past. It's the devil's purpose to get you off the narrow road that leads to eternal life and get you on the highway to hell. The highway to hell, as AC/DC had put out the song. It's very interesting that after that album, Bon Scott died. And he was singing that he's on his highway to hell. He's on the highway to hell. Isn't it amazing that you don't see things for what they really mean? It's just a song, right? But he was on the highway to hell. He was on the wide road that leads to destruction. He was drinking like there was no tomorrow. And on the highway to hell, he was destroyed and he died on the highway to hell. He was not on the narrow road that leads to eternal life. And the proof that the highway to hell is the wide road that leads to destruction is he was destroyed by it, by being on it. I'm amazed at what the Father brings out in these shows. I just don't know. Are you digging this or what? So the word turning, a place where the road branches off another. Hey, the devil says, look to the right. Look to the left. Don't stay straight on the narrow road that leads to eternal life. Maybe you should be a leftist, a goat. Or maybe you should turn off to the right and pretend you're a sheep. But you're really a goat in several cases. No, you should stay straight on the road that leads to eternal life, the narrow road. Don't turn off the road. Do you understand? Synonyms would be turn off. Turn, side road, exit, turn out. Remember the CIA operative, Timothy Leary, said turn on and tune out. Get it? You turn me on to drugs. You turn me on to another road, another avenue, another branch off, which leads to the wide road that leads to destruction, rather than staying on the narrow road, which is what Abraham told Isaac to do. And I think about that myself, and I tell you, don't let anything get you off the road. Don't let anything make you turn off the road. Don't let the devil mess with your feelings and make you turn off the road. Stay on the road that leads to eternal life. Don't turn on and tune in. Turn on and tune out. Turn on the drugs, spigot, and tune out of the world. Tune out of the truth. Tune out of everything. Just turn yourself on. Get it? I think it's amazing we didn't get very far here, but it's because I have to go off on these things and explain things to you, and I think it was very good to do so. So, it continues here. The aforementioned author, remarks of the presence of the 18 Jews amongst the principal leaders of the commune. It was known as a commune then. It was known as a commune in the hippie days, wasn't it? It is interesting to communist, get it? Commune, communist. It is interesting to establish that during the burning of Paris in the year of 1871, the revolutionaries left untouched 150 buildings that belonged to the Rothschild family. Did you hear that? Another revolution, there was one in 1848, now there's one in 1871 and 1870. So I guess it's less than every 50 years, isn't it? The revolutionaries, listen, left untouched the 150 buildings that belonged to the Rothschild family. Imagine they knew the 150 buildings belonged to the Rothschild family. Imagine they knew which ones they were. Somebody would have had to train them in that and teach them in that, right? So the article continues, if we proceed with the study of these movements in Europe, we again find Jews, the poet Heine, Karl Marx, LaSalle, and many others. In order to destroy the former society which rejected him, writes Drumont, the Jew has understood how to place himself at the head of the democratic movement. And we'll end with that thought. The Jew has, in order to destroy the former society, the republic, the monarchy, the Jew has understood how to place himself at the head of the democratic movement. And now that proves, and this is an old book, that proves what I've been telling you, that the Jews, it's the Jews' democracy, and that the democracy is the one world government for the Jews, for Jewish world domination. It is the Jew world order, the new world order for the Jews. And that's under democracy. That's why China is now being supported by the Jews to turn into a democracy. At the end of the show, I always give this good advice, and that is, don't go down the wrong hole.
Just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste, all the lies that they told erased. A man without a face, a man without a face, a man. A man with a